It's your girl Queen Sunny Honey, and welcome to another edition of Freedom Friday. That's right, we are the Caribbean Radio Show, and today I want to take you all the way down to the southernmost point of the continent, of the motherland herself. I want to take you into one of the world's greatest vineyards. Ask anybody high value ticket people if you ever want the very best wine on the planet. Yes, the very southern tip, that part of the world. I bring you greetings from someone who is not a tourist, but a king in his own right of being from South Africa. Are you with us on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line with you. Thanks.
Thank you. And could you please tell the people your formal name? What name are we going by today?
Okay, I'm from South Africa in Johannesburg.
All right. And tell us, in Johannesburg, for all the people who've never traveled, what is Johannesburg known for?
Johannesburg is known for its gold mines. So it's one city which was found on the back of the mining of gold and the precious metals.
You know, that's a very valid point, because when we look at African history, we are always seeing, even through a timeline, of people who love gold. And one of our hopes in today's climate is that we can recognize that the source of all that beauty is the motherland. Yes, Johannesburg. So tell us, what do you do presently, and how has this journey been for you coming in, living in the Gulf, coming from South Africa?
Presently, I'm in the Gulf as a teacher, as a science teacher. I came here through my curiosity to try to at least see how is the education system working around the world. So as a South African, I am contributing my little bit of scientific knowledge that I have, that I bringing from South Africa.
Wow. Well, it is amazing to actually connect to a fellow teacher who's working away from home. Now that you are away, what is something that you are missing that only South Africa can bring?
Presently, I am missing the humor, the weather, the environment, nature, and the people. Remember, Africa is known for its humorous, friendly, and welcoming population. So this is what I am missing presently, being in another world where people are silent, they don't greet you, you have to greet them, it's either they know you or you don't know them. But when you are in South Africa, everybody or anybody can just greet you and say hi without even wanting to know who you are or where you're coming from.
And that connectiveness has actually brought you and I together. Just knowing the richness of what it's like in times like this for people to feel really disconnected because of what's going on in the world, it's important that we reconnect. Because yes, when the world opens back up, I promise you, so many people who've never seen South Africa are not going to go to their graves with dreams unfulfilled. Hard times like this has really brought so many people coming on and saying, hey, I want to go travel, I want to see these places.
Yes.
So tell us, for our travel people who really want to see South Africa, what are two things that you think everyone needs to taste when they get to South Africa? Of course, people have always recommended the red wine to me, but I want to hear it from someone who's native.
I think, you know, South Africa, it's so vast. I would say to anybody who wants to visit South Africa, is to forget about concentrating too much into the main cities, because the main cities, that is where you get everybody from all over the world. Remember South Africa, that's why they call it a rainbow nation, because it has got everyone, every citizen, almost every color of a human being that you can think about. You will come across them when you are in South Africa. But once you go out there into the interior or to the coastal areas, you need to try to go to the national parks and see animals at their best. So that's what I would advise everybody or anybody who'd like to visit South Africa, is to go down to the townships and see the people, how they are living. Because the perception or the myth or what we're seeing on TVs is not really what is happening in South Africa. South Africa is one country which is, yes, it has got its own problems, it has got its own past, but comparatively speaking, it's not different to any other country around the world. But the beauty of the country, the difference of the people, that's what makes South Africa so great to visit.
Ooh, you said a mouthful. If only people could see the vast richness and opulence that is everyday lifestyle for South Africans, then somehow, I go on record to say, America is not comparable. I've seen beautiful homes, just the value of seeing land that's untouched by a lot of mining for the wrong things, and seeing nature intact has been beautiful pictures, and I do hope that people embark on that. One of the things that history brought in when it comes to race and culture was colored and black. Can you explain where this concept came from, and let me know if it still exists today?
Sorry to interrupt you. Can you repeat the question? What is it still there today? You mean the color black?
Coloreds and blacks. Is it true that one mom can give birth to both colored and black children? Where does this history come from, and does it still exist today?
That's a very interesting question. Remember this wedding or this labeling of colored and black? It's something that was brought upon us by the colonizers, the settlers. Mm. South Africa, the problem with it is that we had all the indigenous people who intermingled with foreign or Europeans in the past. So now they carry their genes, you know, through centuries and so forth. So children in South Africa presently, or depending on where you are located in South Africa, we do not really look at that as colored or black and everything. Yes, there are those who will come from light-skinned parents, or there are those from darker-skinned parents, but depending on the area in which you are, that is when that label might really feature to you. Yes, a parent can be able in South Africa to give birth to children of different skin color, which is not something that to us we look at it in any other way, because that's how we grew up and that is hereditary. As me, myself, from my family, we're not the same skin color. There are those who are lighter than the other ones. There are those who are darker. Those who are brownish. So how did this evolution happen? I can't tell you. I don't know about that, what happened. But yes, we do have families. We do have children, as I'm saying, within my family, from the same father and the same mother. We don't have the same skin color.
So thanks for busting this myth, because no matter where the black woman is on the planet, she is a beautiful divine being that has that capability to marry one man and birthed the entire rainbow. So when you mentioned earlier that South Africa is truly that rainbow nation, I know America is known as that melting pot. No matter where we are on the planet, that's the power. You cannot separate us. They use colorism and classism everywhere on the planet to separate us as a people. But I love the way you broke it down. In the end, we're still siblings coming from the same womb.
Yes, it's true. I think, you know, we've got parents whereby some children are even albinos in that family.
Yes.
So you can imagine we have families we grew up with, we studied with from primary school up to high school, where the brother is just a normal guy, the other sister is an albino. How did that happen? We don't know. So that has been something that we never even thought about. We grew up with those kind of things.
I love that we're having this conversation, because intercultural communications is what's necessary. Oftentimes the media portrays certain images, and until we get together and have that conversation and share it with people, people will never know. Some of the fears that people have about traveling, if they only knew, they might, you know, actually, I've gotten homesick for Africa, but never for America. Isn't that ironic?
No, it's true. I think, you know, once you can touch Africa, any other country in Africa, you know, you'll never be the same person again, you know, for the rest of your life. You know, that's one place which is so diverse, so rich, and so healing in its nature. So being an African and being around, you know, your African brothers and sisters, you know, we should be happy and compliment one another about that, rather than the myth of them saying it's a dark continent. There's no such thing as a dark continent. We've been some of the people who brought, you know, what civilization they're talking about today.
That's right. Well, years ago when I had an internship, a fellowship with a great organization, there was an opportunity to place the ballot in the Alabama Museum, right across the street from the bombing of a church in the 1960s that had some little girls in it. There's a museum in Alabama, and I had the honor of having the last ballot of Nelson Mandela donated on my behalf after completing that internship that summer. So if anybody out there listening knows someone who lives in the Alabama area, please go down to the museum and look for that ballot. Look for, you know, that. I had never had a passport at that moment. I didn't know that I would travel and actually touch down on the land. But the history and the connectiveness of what is why we've got to stay connected and just share that. You know, here we are looking at African politicians and leaders and people all around the world, and knowing that I meet you in the Middle East, two teachers coming together. I want to know, when you think about South Africa and having your exit strategy to go back home, what does that look like for you? The return of the king to South Africa.
Remember, you know, South Africa will always be home. You know, returning back to home, it will be like returning back to my motherland. You know, that is one country which I usually miss. It doesn't matter wherever I go to around the world. You know, South Africa is one open country. It's one diverse country. It's one country in a million countries. So to be South African also, I think I'm blessed. I'm happy to call myself a South African. Anybody who's black or who's African in the diaspora, remember last year was the year of the return of those who wants to claim their heredity. Anybody is welcome in South Africa. It doesn't matter whether you are of your race. Remember, one of our constitution says everybody is welcome to be, as long as you are coming to bring something as a contribution to our land, to help through healing of what we went through as a nation. That's one country which went through some of the hardest or harshest, more than probably 200 years of apartheid. So we're still coming out of that and trying to rebuild our country. So if I go back to South Africa, I'll be taking with me what I've learned being in the Middle East and putting back to my community.
Ashe, wonderful. So tell me about the regions in South Africa. There's so many people listening in that would really appreciate a history lesson on where to go, what the beaches are, what is Pretoria. Can you give us a little history lesson on South Africa?
I think anybody who doesn't know South Africa, what he needs to Google is to check how many provinces are there. We've got about 9 provinces. So one province, it might be bigger than the United Kingdom or France combined together. Remember, what the map shows you is not the true picture of our country.
Tell the truth, so, come on.
Yes. So we've got vast territories, vast land, of depending where do you want to go. So as a visitor, initially, I would say look at the two provinces which we call Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga, that means that's where the sun comes from. It used to call the eastern part of South Africa. And you can Google KwaZulu-Natal and go and see the rich culture of the Zulus. You can go to Cape Town and go and see the beaches and everything and the rich culture of the Xhosa people. The Xhosa people are where the descendants of Nelson Mandela and most of the South African struggle heroes, those are the descendants of the indigenous Africans in South Africa, the ones that we call the Khoisan or the Bushmen. So that's where Cape Town is. It's one of the most beautiful cities around the world. KwaZulu-Natal is beautiful, it's vast. Go to the Kruger National Park. Those are just 3 provinces. Going to the interior, the Pretoria and the Johannesburg, those are metropolitan cities. They are just as similar as you being in London or New Jersey, New York and everything. So if you are not comfortable about nature, you can go to the big cities. You won't really see the difference from where you're coming from. And nobody will even recognize that you are a foreigner in there, because we've got Chinese, we've got blacks, we've got whites, almost every nationality in South Africa is there. So it depends on what kind of a person you are. Do you love nature, or do you love the sea, or do you love entertainment? All those combined are there for you.
All right, people, speaking of entertainment, when you get to the motherland, make sure you get that nightlife in, get you some good food, get to a museum, get down to the culture, and never feel like a tourist in your own home.
Yes, and don't forget to go to Soweto, which is in Johannesburg. That's where the Winnie Mandela and Nelson Mandela, the Desmond Tutu, they grew up in one street. That's one street in the rest of the world, whole world, where it produced 3 Nobel Peace Prize winners. So if you go to Soweto, you can go and see the house of Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, and the rest of those people who participated in liberating our country.
Oh, definitely. I will definitely get there. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, man. See, Winnie Mandela is definitely my hero. When I studied the culture growing up, I understood that it was her and her father in her education that she met the right man. And she was, to me, she is the essence of the Michelle Obama story. That remember, Michelle Obama was the boss lady. And when you look back at Whitney's story of where she was in college when she met Nelson, it was, she had it going on. Her father had her set up for her life and her career. And then this man came along and she straight up Michelle Obama this man into what we know to be Nelson Mandela. So I have a true, sincere, deep, because I'm woman first love for Winnie Mandela, to know that she elevated him. She honored the things that she did when he was off, the solidarity of a good woman. Now, whatever else happened after he got out and went on his business will go down in history of her being my Shiro, of her commitment to the people of South Africa. So definitely, I'm walking down that street. Desmond Tutu, oh my goodness. He was all of my childhood. He actually always felt like the uncle that was there every Sunday morning. I don't know why I felt like I met Desmond Tutu in childhood, but he was a really prevalent part in my growing up. I love the fact that you came on today and gifted us something that felt heartfelt, because out of everything that's gone on during on the continent my whole life, I had more information about South Africa than I did Rwanda or any of the things that were going on. For history itself to be almost Hollywood-like, it was only when things happened in Africa that I had the realization that these things were happening while I was living and breathing, and no, this wasn't a Hollywood movie. So I welcome and I thank you for coming on the show today to demystify some of those things that the media put out there and to bring a beautiful light to the truth that some parts of America might look like a third world country compared to some of the glories of South Africa.
Yes, no. For inviting me. As we said, I think it's worthwhile for every, you know, Afrikaners in the diaspora to at least once in their lifetime have that opportunity to demystify and see what we are talking about in reality or in person, because what we see on the media and the movies is not exactly what is happening on the ground. And we are not as, you know, backward as most of those who want to put Africa in a bad light because of some ulterior motives. But yes, I would say, you know, South Africa is still one of the success stories of Africa. So whilst, you know, things still fine now, that is a good opportunity for anyone who can afford or who can have that opportunity to just touch base for once in a week or once in a month or for the rest of their lives, you know, make sure that they visit the country and see what they read about. Because yes, we know most of our African brothers and sisters have been there participating in the anti-apartheid struggle, have been there promoting, or when there were sanctions which have been applied to South Africa, in their colleges and in their schools, in their work, in one way or the other, they did put a contribution to what happened in South Africa. So they are welcome to at least visit and see the fruits of their labor.
That's right. There's an African proverb that says, "Know thyself and be filled with wealth." I like to say, know thyself and be filled with wealth. Know thy story and be filled with glory. We're on the precipice of so many things, knowing that police brutality in America has gotten people in the diaspora to turn and look back, Sankofa, and feel welcome home. You know, I forecast that in the next decade, millions of African Americans, people all over the planet who are black, will look to Africa as a means of home, even celebrities for the first time are realizing that everybody else of another race has a home in Africa and are catching up. So I hope that people will just take the time to see the luxury and the lifestyle, living organic, eat that good food free from Monsanto's. Go to Africa and build with our own brothers and sisters so that we can have that international takeover. If someone came and took slaves, no, they did not. They may have taken the engineers, but I call upon everyone to have an international family reunion, intercultural relationships, entertain what the world will be like when we just start having these conversations. Again, I thank you for coming onto the show today, and I know that people will be excited to hear more from you. You are a talented brother and very unstoppable. So hopefully I can get you to come back and give us a revisit on what the future is holding for you, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. You are welcome.
All right. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in to another edition of Freedom Friday. This is your girl, Queen Sunny Honey. And until next time, limitless blessings to you and yours.